And so open our Bibles, please, to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 43 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 751. Beginning with the 11th verse, we'll read through verse 16. We'll read the verses responsibly, and the 16th verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's stand, please. All of us standing for the reading of God's Word. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. And let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this book. Help us not to forget that we have it at great price to the lives of many who've gone before us. We thank you for its preservation. We thank you for its authenticity. We pray that you'd help us to realize what a treasure we have in this thy word. And thank you for our preacher who helps us to explore its treasures. And help us tonight to get something of a blessing from the service, but especially from this book. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, and the way you hit that high note, I thought it was Jennifer DePeace there for a while. And, all right. Several months ago, I was reading my Bible reading. I try to read the Bible every several months, which to the bass section of the choir is excessive, I know. But anyway, I had several appointments one day, and three or four people had said the same thing. Brother Howes, I just don't see any way out. I just don't see any way out. To each of those people, I turned to Isaiah chapter 43 and read this verse. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Immediately, you know what it's talking about. It's talking about the parting of the Red Sea. Immediately, I showed this verse. And then I keep a little file of sermons that I've prepared and am preparing. And I jotted down after these folks had left this verse and thought maybe I ought to bring a sermon on it. I sort of halfway outlined one, left it lying dormant there in my file of messages, some prepared, some not yet prepared, and some partially so. And I had it there, intended sometime to work on it. And then a few days ago, one of our young men slipped a note on my door, and he said, Pastor, I found the verse I want you to see. And it was Isaiah chapter number 43 and verse number 16, and he just quoted those words, He maketh a way. I immediately went to my file, and I opened it and saw this partially prepared sermon, and thought maybe that the Lord was telling me it's time that I brought the message. And the message is entitled simply, He Maketh a Way. I hope to encourage you tonight. Our Heavenly Father, there are a lot of people here tonight that can't see a way. In fact, there are a lot of people tonight, if they told the truth, that have to say, I don't think there is a way. I pray that you'd introduce them tonight to a way-making God. Bless me as I speak, our people as they hear, and the message as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah was a pre-exile prophet. By that I mean he was a prophet that prophesied the coming judgment of God before Nebuchadnezzar and the mighty Babylonian army came and conquered Israel and took many of the Israelites or the people of God back to Babylon for the 70-year captivity. So Isaiah was what we call a pre-exile prophet. He realized that judgment was going to come. In fact, he prophesied that judgment again and again and again. And yet he wanted to remind the people of God who love God and serve God that God was a way-making God. And so he occasionally, or oftentimes really, would remind them of something that happened in the past to the people of God, back in the days, no doubt, of deliverance from Egyptian bondage and their trek across the wilderness toward the promised land. And he would remind them that God did thus and so, and that God can do it again. Now in our text tonight, he does that. He simply says, don't you think that the God who made a way across the Red Sea is your God, and that God can make a way for you? He was simply saying, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, all I have to do is follow. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any tunnels, mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible, and he knows how to make a way for you. That's what he was saying. He was saying, look back at the marvelous history of your people and how God made a way for them. In the next of this amazing statement, he maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Let me enlarge a little bit upon what things Isaiah said throughout the book of Isaiah, and some things perhaps that he did not say, or maybe he said that were not recorded in God's holy book. Over 3 million Jews were in bondage, in slavery, awful bondage, enslaved in the brick factories of Egypt. And God, Isaiah say, and God made a way. Now, how did God make this way? God came to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to talk to the people. I want you to tell the people this. Every household should choose a lamb. Now that lamb should be a male lamb, and that male lamb should be without blemish. I want that lamb taken up on the first month and the 10th day of that month, corresponding with our April 10th. And I want that lamb to be kept for scrutinization for 4 days until April the 14th. On the 14th day of that month, I want that lamb slain. I want the blood of that lamb sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintels of every house. And on that night, during the night, the death angel is going to come through. And if the blood is not applied of the male lamb without blemish, slain on or taken on the 10th day of the month and held for scrutinization for those 4 days, if the blood is applied to the household, then the death angel will not touch anybody in that household. But if the blood is not applied to that household, then the firstborn of every family will be taken by death. Now, you know and I know, there are probably some people who did not apply the blood that were better than people that did apply the blood. Didn't matter how good you were, did you apply the blood? That's all that mattered. There were some people, no doubt, more religious than that did not apply the blood than those that did apply the blood. But doesn't matter how religious they were, the blood must be applied, you see. And God said to Moses, you tell the people that. Also on that great Passover night of April 14, 1492 B.C., the people went to bed that night with, no doubt, somewhat of fear. Even the blood had been applied. I'm sure that every parent there
or saying, oh, I hope this is right. I believe it's right. Moses said it, and Moses said God said it to him, and I believe it's right. But no doubt, can you imagine the joy that they felt the next morning when they woke up and went to their oldest child and said, sweetheart, you're alive. You're alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you're alive. It was the blood applied that caused it, and that's what causes you to be saved too. Doesn't matter how many, there are people tonight, there are people in hell tonight who are better people than folks who are in heaven. And there are people in hell tonight, they're far more religious than folks that are in heaven. It doesn't matter about that. It matters if the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has been trusted as your hope for heaven, and that blood sprinkled on heaven's mercy seat. So, praise God, he made a way. Isaiah said, don't you think the God that could make a... And by the way, when that happened, Pharaoh said, let the people go. Go ahead on, he said, and get out of here. And the people of God were spared from Egyptian bondage and terrible captivity. Why? Because the God of heaven made a way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all that I need for tomorrow, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Got in rivers that seem to be uncrossable. Got in mountains you cannot tunnel through. God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows how to make a way for you. Now I'm simply saying tonight, he is a way-making God. And Isaiah said to the people, that God that made a way for those Jews to leave the land of Egypt, that God is your God, and he will make a way for you. Now they're free. And they've left the land of Egypt, instructed to go to the land of Canaan. But wait a minute. They come to a mighty body of water known as the Red Sea. What in the world are they going to do? That mighty Red Sea is before them, and the armies of Pharaoh recanted that he had let them go and instructed and commanded his armies to pursue them and to bring the Israelites back to captivity, and those who wouldn't come to take their lives, no doubt. Now here they come. Here's a mighty Red Sea, and here come the armies of Egypt behind them, multiplied times bigger than the Israelites. And here come these armies upon these 3.5 million unprotected, defenseless Jews. What will we do? I've got some good news for you, said Isaiah. He made a way. He said, Moses, you take that rod that I gave you, and you just take it and you smite the waters of the Red Sea. And Moses smote those waters of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea said, good night. Never been hit like that before. And it stood in attention. And the waters were parted on the left and on the right of the Red Sea. Now, don't you think that God can take care of you? Don't you think God that can part the waters of the Red Sea and deliver 3.5 million Jews from the Egyptian bondage? Don't you think that way-making God can make a way for you to get through college? Don't you think that way-making God can help you resist the temptation that you have? Don't you think that way-making God can perform a miracle in your life? Let me tell you something. Our God never changes. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down to the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the God that parted the waters of the Red Sea is the God we serve and worship tonight. But wait a minute. There's a problem. Okay, the waters are parted. But how can we get across the waters? You see, it's muddy down there. I mean, at the bottom of the Red Sea, a good night we'll sink in that mud. There's no way that 3.5 million Jews can come across that. Well, I've got some good news for you. God maketh a way. And so God said to Moses, he said, I will make a way. And God sent a strong east wind and dried up the ground, the muddy ground at the bottom of the Red Sea. I say, he maketh a way. He maketh a way through the waters. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. If they follow, the Egyptian armies can come across there too. And what are we going to do? I mean, if they fall across that Red Sea, they still are going to take us back or may even kill us. We have no hope. Ah, but I serve a way-making God, and God maketh a way. What was it? God caused a great cloud to come between the armies of the Egyptian armies and the people of God, and they couldn't find the path in the Red Sea. I say, he maketh a way.
Well, you say, then no way.
You may not be away as far as you know, but as far as he knows, there's a way. If you've got some rivers that seem uncrossable, our God is a way-making God. You've got some mountains you can't tunnel through, our God's a way-making God. You've got a burden you think you can't bear, our God's a way-making God. You've got a problem you think you can't solve, our God's a way-making God. Let me tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to strengthen your faith in the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent King of Kings. He said there's nothing impossible for God. All things are possible in the leader, and that's the God we serve. He maketh a way.
But wait a minute. They'll find the way. They'll find the spot there, and they can come across. Now, when they do find that spot and come across, then they'll catch us on the other side, and we'll still be slaves. But God says, let me tell you something else. I'll make a way.
So when the Egyptian armies got down in the bottom of the Red Sea, God decided to have a baptismal service. And baptized them permanently. He said, buried in the likeness of his death and forgot the rest of the line. And all the Egyptian armies were buried in, hey, that's the God you serve tonight. That's the God who lives right in here. That's the God that wrote this book. That's the God that built this church. That God lives. I could stand here tonight. I could tell you miracle after miracle after miracle taking place right in this auditorium and right in this building. Just as remarkable as the miracles that took place in the Red Sea days.
Some of you remember that day we were at the Civic Center. We were building this auditorium at the time. For 5 months, I think it was, we met at the Civic Center for all of our services. Some of you recall that Sunday morning when a man in our blind department was sitting up back there in the Civic Center. All of a sudden, he jumps up. Man, probably a middle-aged man. And he said, I can see. I can see. I can see. And he came running down the aisle and ran up here on the platform and looked at me, and he said, you're not as good-looking as I thought you were. I said, you're not a dreamboat yourself there, buddy, and I've had to look at you all these years. But I'm trying to tell you that you say, Brother, are you saying that you healed that man? No, I'm saying that he healed that man. That's what I'm trying to say.
He maketh a way. Let me tell you, he maketh a way. Little widow, he maketh a way. Hard-working man trying to make ends meet, he maketh a way. Broken-hearted one, he maketh a way. He and God said, Isaiah, you tell Israel that I've made a way for their people all through these years, and I am the same God in 500 B.C. I was in 1492 B.C.
Well, wait a minute. We're dead meat, he said. Moses stuck out his hand over the Red Sea and the waters came back and drowned the armies. But wait a minute. Okay, so we're across. We're stuck. We're in this wilderness here. We never have been here before. And okay, we're free from Egypt. The armies of Egypt are dead. And we're free from Pharaoh's bondage. Okay, but where will we go? We don't know which way to go. We don't have any compasses. Which way to go? He maketh a way. He said, I'll tell you how you can know. I'll send you a pillar of cloud by day. And I'll send you a pillar of fire by night. And I'll let that pillar of fire guide you by night, and that pillar of cloud guide you the daytime. When that cloud lifts from the tabernacle, you follow that cloud. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that same God in that pillar of cloud is the God I talked to a while ago before I walked in this service. That's the same God. Boy, I'd like to strengthen you in the mighty power of our great God. I'd like that. We serve a healing God, a saving God, an omnipotent God, and there's nothing too hard for him. He maketh a way, the Bible says. But wait a minute. Okay. We've been spared from Egypt. We've crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. The armies of Pharaoh have been destroyed. And now we know which way to go. We'll just follow this pillar of cloud. And by the way, everybody in this room, especially this time of year, you high school seniors, you college seniors, you forget your own will and you follow the will of Almighty God. Wait a minute. They said, we're hungry. We know where to go. But we're hungry. What are we going to eat? There's no jewels here. There's no crack in Van Til. I don't think there was. There's no key stores, no 7-Eleven, no Sterks. What are we going to eat?
He maketh a way. He said, Moses, you tell the people what I'll do. I'll cause little one of their vitamin tablets to fall out of heaven every morning to cover the ground like the hoary frost of the dawn. And it'll be nourishment. And bless God, for 40 long years, they were supplied sustenance and food to care for their health by God Almighty. I'm saying, if our God can cause a Red Sea to part, and our God can send manna from heaven to feed 3.5 billion Jews, and our God can drown the Egyptian armies, and our God can eat a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, I bet you our God can take care of finding a way for you to.
So what's going to wash this manna down, dear God?
What are we going to drink? We're out in the wilderness. There's no water out here. What are we going to drink?
He maketh a way. He maketh a way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness.
He said, Moses, that same rod that you smote with which you smote the Red Sea, I want you to do a little more smiting. There's a rock in Horeb. And I want you to take that rod, and I want you to smite that rock one time. And then all the rest of the time that you're in the wilderness, just speak that rock. And every time you speak the rock that was once smitten, I will cause water to burst forth. Enough water to care for 3.5 million Jews for 40 long years. Hey! He made a way again.
Okay, okay. But it's hot in the daytime. He said, don't forget that pillar of cloud I gave you. I made a way to keep you cool.
But it's cold in these low humidity nights. How are we going to stay warm? He said, don't forget, I gave you a pillar of fire by night to keep you warm. I gave you an air conditioner in the daytime and a central heating unit at nighttime to keep you warm. Boy, I'd like to reach out and tell some of you preacher boys, you're not going out to organize some church. You're not going out just to pastor some people. You're going out to represent the true and the living God of hosts. That's what it is. He maketh a way. He knows the way. You say, I can't see the way. You don't have to see the way. He maketh the way. All you got to do is just keep going forward. That's all.
But, wait a minute. Look at all those snakes. Boy, I hate snakes. Oh, I hate snakes. And don't you even give me a toy snake. Don't you do it. Some of my friends bought me for a birthday present a mounted snake they'd taken and mounted the thing like you'd do a fish. I wouldn't look at it. I can't look at a snake picture of a snake in the paper. We took our grandkids to the zoo a couple of years ago, and when they went to that building where the snakes are, I stayed outside. I'm not kidding. I won't go in. I won't do it. Say, why? Well, because I don't want to. That's why. Say, you chicken? You dead sure know I'm chicken. My name's Chow Mein. I'm Chicken Chow Mein. But what are all these snakes? Oh, good night. These snakes everywhere, and they're biting us, and folks are dying. God said, I made a way. He said, you just take that a piece of brass, and you beat that piece of brass into a serpent of brass, and you put that serpent high on a pole, and Moses, you lift high that serpent in the wilderness. Everybody that looks to it will be healed, and they will not die. He maketh a way. Well, here we are again. Another body of water. There's the Jordan River. Isn't it amazing? Looks like if they'd seen God part the Red Sea, they wouldn't be worried about the Jordan River.
God said, Moses, you take the ark and have the ark borne first, and as the feet of the priest that take the ark touch the waters will stand at attention. God made a way. Our God made a way for deliverance from Egypt. Our God made a way for the parting of the Red Sea. Our God made a way for the drying of the waters. Our God made a way for the Israelites to cross on dry ground. Our God made a way for the Egyptian armies not to find the place that was where the waters were parted. And when they did find it, our God made a way and drowned the Egyptians. Our God made a way to feed them for 40 years, 3.5 million Jews. Our God made a way to give them enough water to drink. Our God made a way, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, if I can reach out tonight and let you know what a wonderful, mighty God I'm talking about. We worship the true and the living God, not some little man-made God, not some little idol. We worship the Creator of the universe. Our God maketh a way. Tonight, that God is still alive. The God of the Passover still lives. The God of the Red Sea still lives. The God of the pillar of cloud still lives. The God of the pillar of fire still lives. The God of the fallen manna still lives. The God of the smitten rock still lives. The God of the brazen serpent still lives. The God of the Jordan River still lives. The God that fell the waters of the walls of Jericho still lives. The God of David and Goliath still lives. The God who fed 5,000 people, men, and plus the women and children, on 5 loaves and 2 fishes still lives. The God who opened Bartimaeus' eyes still lives. The God who raised Lazarus from the dead still lives. The God who led in Noah's ark in the flood still lives. The God who performed the miracle in the belly of the whale still lives. The God who sweetened Marah's waters still lives. The God who walked on the waters of Galilee still lives. The God who fell Goliath with a slingshot still lives. The God who sent fire from heaven for Elijah still lives. The God that caused a virgin to conceive and bring forth a son, that God still lives. The God who made the axe head swim still lives. The God who caused Paul to rise from the dead after being stoned to death in Lystra, he still lives. The God that healed Peter's mother-in-law still lives. The God who unstopped deaf ears still lives. The God who caused blinded eyes to see, he still lives. The God that caused a lame leap like a hart still lives. The God that healed leprous Naaman still lives. The God that spoke and then there was a universe still lives. The God who spoke and the rivers and lakes and oceans and ponds created from nothing still lives. The God who made the sun as the czar of the daytime still lives. The God who made the moon and had him crowned as king of the night still lives. The God who spoke and trees ascended still lives. The God who spoke and vines spread still lives. The God who spoke and birds flew still lives. The God who spoke and fish swam still lives. The God who spoke and beasts roamed the field still lives. The God who spoke and flowers bloomed still lives. The God who spoke and grass greened still lives. The God who spoke and mountains rose still lives. The God who spoke and valleys descended still lives. The God who spoke and aroma spread still lives. The God who spoke and beauty was born still lives. The God who spoke and insects crawled still lives. The God who spoke and birds sang still lives. The God who spoke and clouds cooled the earth still lives. The God who spoke and the stars shine still lives. The God who made man from dust still lives. The God who made streets of gold and gates of pearl and heavenly mansions still lives. The God who became man and lived 33 years without sin, died on Calvary's cross and rose after 3 days and 3 nights and ascended into heaven, is alive forevermore. And he still lives. He's the waymaker. I said he's the waymaker. I said he's the waymaker. He knows the way through the wilderness. And tonight he knows a way for you. Keep on going. Don't turn back. And don't stop. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus came. It's been 3,500 years since Moses' rod was used of God to part the waters of the Red Sea. And I tell you, the promise for us today, I love it with all of my heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there is no temptation. That's testing, heartache, problem, taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but will the temptation, listen, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so your pastor comes tonight to let you know after 54 years of preaching, 73 and a half years of living. Your pastor comes tonight to let you know that he is as convinced as he is, he's standing behind this pulpit, that the God of Abraham is our God. And the God of the Red Sea is our God. And the God of the manna from heaven is our God. I love that little story that I've often told. A little widow rearing her son. And all the food was gone. The meal barrel was empty. And I've been there time and time again with my mother. The meal barrel was empty. And mother reached down and tried to find some more meal. And she scraped and she scraped and she couldn't find enough to make a meal. And she looked down and said, "Son, I give up. I give up." The little boy said, "Mama, don't you think God heard the scraping of that barrel?" "Oh, yes, he did. Cancer-stricken one, broken-hearted one, lonely one, attacked one, discouraged one. Let me remind you of my text tonight. He maketh a way. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way. In fact, my Lord made the way. In fact, my Lord is the way through the wilderness. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. And he knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. Throw your shoulders back. Lift high your head. Raise high your arm. And say, "Hallelujah. He maketh a way. He maketh a way. He maketh a way. He maketh a way." And I'm glad he said, "He maketh a way in the sea, in the path of mighty waters." Are you going through the valley tonight? Through deep waters? He maketh a way. He maketh a way. He maketh a way. Hallelujah. We serve a way-making God. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, just another little attempt to remind our folks of our great God, what he is, who he is, what he can do, what he's done, what he promised he will do. And you said there's no testing, burden, heartache taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above that you're able, but with also with the testing or temptation, make a way. Make a way. Make a way to escape.